welcome, folks, to this very special edition of the Bugle Weekly. This is Richard Greaser, and today I am sadly running solo. Rod Palmer will be missed for this episode, but I think I got it handled. You're going to listen to me ramble. I don't know how long I'm going to go for, so let's see, folks. You're going to listen to me ramble solo. And the first thing I want to address, it is Sunday, July 27th, 10:30 in the evening as I'm recording this. First thing I want to address this evening, folks, is there's a lot of people being bearish right now. This cycle is different. Marty prophesized it. He was one of the first to say it was different. He probably wasn't the first. Marty's generally never the first to do anything. He wasn't the first to do open mouth thumbnails. He wasn't the first to move to Austin, Texas. He wasn't the first to leave Austin, Texas after he figured out it sucked. Marty Bent was one of the first to be willing to have the balls this cycle to say this time is different. And he's correct. And there's a bunch of people that are being grumpy about this time being different. They wanted to be like last time. They wanted to have this niche little ecosystem of orange cells pontificating about Bitcoin and going circles over and over again and making really bad memes all over again and arguing with the shitcoiners and arguing with the no-coiners. There's really not going to be much of that this cycle. The memes are better. The memes are getting better, I think largely because of Rod Palmer, myself, but Podkov's stepping up the game. They should be a lot better. Podkov should be a lot better than what they're doing, but, you know, there's potential for Podkov. The thing is, folks, it is time to grow up. We are not children anymore, and I think this is the thing that is hard for a lot of people, is this process of growing up. They want to stay young forever. It's kind of like that moment, you know, that a woman feels typically in like her 40s or so, where she's like, I can't wear this anymore because it oftentimes happens earlier than that, maybe in the 30s, but it's like, I can't wear this really fun thing anymore that I used to get away with when I was a kid because I'm an adult now. You got to take that dress or that bikini or whatever it was. Go take it to the thrift store. Let some young gal grab it and you make use of it. But it's time for you to retire. You can't pull it off anymore. But it's not like it's the end of the world. You know, you're letting go of something, but you're embracing something new, which is being an adult. Because when you're 40 years old, your thoughts and perspective on the world are different than when you were 20 years old or 18 or, you know, whenever. And what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with some serious stuff. Bitcoin's ripping. The economy's doing absolutely fine and dandy. The fiat people are grumpy. The entirety of the United States is realizing that they all voted for pedophiles. If they had their eyes open, they listened to Bitcoin podcasts, they would have figured that out a long time ago, but they're just realizing it. They can't hide from it. It's right there in their face. Some pretty heavy stuff that we're dealing with. Right now, there's wars going on. I don't know. Maybe what it is, why a lot of people are being grumpy and they're not super bullish right now and excited, is because they had this fantastical idea in their head that by this point, when Bitcoin was worth this much, everything would be fixed. And they're looking around them and they see their peers who don't listen to Bitcoin podcasts and they're just as stupid as ever, but maybe they're buying Bitcoin or maybe they're buying paper Bitcoin and it's not fixing anything for them in their lives. And they're having a crisis because instead of doing the personal work necessary to change their lives, to make their lives better, to get their shit together, become healthy individuals, what they did instead was they projected their entire well-being and sense of self on this fantasy idea that this cryptocurrency is going to magically fix everything, that everybody's going to turn into a cypherpunk. They're just going to be convinced of it. They're going to go from people that just sit at their TVs and watch reality TV all day. They watch the Kardashians. that believe that vaccines work, that think that smoking's bad for you, they're going to go from that to being carnivores, reading Ayn Rand and listening to Bitcoin podcasts and reading the Bushido of Bitcoin. They're going to take their Ukraine flag off their profile picture and they're going to put on laser eyes. Is that really the expectation that you had? I hope for those listening, that wasn't the expectation you had. And I hope you were a little bit more realistic and you realized that Bitcoin winning meant some shit. It meant that things were going to be different. It meant that it was going to influence the world, and the world in return would try to influence the Bitcoin ecosystem. Was that not expected? You just expected everybody to become a full-time podcast listener and to hate the Federal Reserve and to realize that voting's a waste of time. How much have you changed as a result of this thing? For the better? Or really better? Now that your perspective on the world has changed as a result of things not working out maybe like how you thought they would, do you feel okay, or do you feel terrified? You feel like all the energy that you put into this wasn't going in the direction that you wanted it to. The reality is that Bitcoin is symbolic of a larger battle, and that it's not like an all or nothing collectivist movement where everything just magically gets fixed. That's just such a childish way to view things. And I think where a lot of people are getting stuck and frustrated is they're looking at other people's behavior and allowing that to influence them and influence their feelings and influence their opinions on the world is like, wow, that guy over there is completely retarded. So it means that everything sucks. My life sucks. My life sucks because that guy was retarded. Folks, stop giving a shit about other people. And what I mean by that is just keep your nose to yourself. Mind your own business. I don't mean like just absolutely don't give a shit about anybody. But why should somebody else's behavior impact you? If somebody else decides to watch Netflix instead of listen to Bitcoin podcasts and they get poor as a result of it, why should that ruin your day or your week or your life? You should be so focused on the things that you're doing, the way that you're trying to improve yourself, family's lives, that you don't even think about what other people are doing. You know, the reality that you have is the reality that you create for yourself. And if you allow these other people to manufacture this perspective for you, it's like, why are all these guys depressed? It's because they're on Twitter. They're just being fed garbage all day. It doesn't feel the same as the last time it did. It's like, no, because the world is completely different. Things are a lot harder right now from a macro perspective. Things are significantly harder than they were before. Things are unraveling. The fiat world is unraveling. If you're listening to Bitcoin podcasts, you knew this was going to happen. I don't know why it's a surprise. And a lot of people didn't prepare for it. I don't know what they were expecting. They expected that they were going to do nothing but listen to Bitcoin podcasts and just get rich as a result of it. Like, no. The reason why you listen 40 hours per week is so you know what the right action to take is, not so that you can sit on your butt and do nothing. Because how is wealth formed? Wealth is formed by exchanging labor for money, for time. And Bitcoin's a way to retain that value. It's not a way to get rich by doing nothing. Why do you listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast? So you can learn about the way the world works, so you can make yourself more valuable. Make yourself more valuable to your family. Make yourself more valuable to the world. Because that's what being your best self means, is you're pursuing the ability to provide the world as much value as possible. You know, I carry cigarettes with me everywhere I go, and I always make sure to have extras with me. Because there's a lot of circumstances where I'll run into people. They'll ask me for a cigarette. I'll give homeless people cigarettes. I think that's probably the most effective way to help a homeless person. Mental health treatment. But I met this drunk blonde lady, 40-year-old woman, just completely sloshed. She said she had a case of the hiccups. She comes out to the smoking section where I was banished. I'm standing there smoking a cigarette, talking to the couple fellows. She comes walking out, stumbling, looks at me, and just like, you know, really annoying voice, blonde, you know, 40-year-old woman. It doesn't really look like a Karen. She might be when she's sober. Just asked for a cigarette. She says, I have the hiccups. I was like, well, I got your back. Cigarettes fix everything. And so I learned this week that cigarettes fix hiccups. I never thought that would happen. But one of the things that I like about standing at the smoking pit, I don't talk to people about Bitcoin, but I think people should have figured it out by now. They've had the opportunity to figure it out right now. But what I get to do is I get to tell people that the smoking is good for you. That's why I like to hang out in those types of situations, because like the average smoker is so discouraged. They feel ostracized from society. They feel the pressure. They feel like a second-rate citizen, and they're treated like one. They're treated like scum. And I like to stand there and make fun of people for saying that cigarettes are bad for you and explain to them, I'm out there smoking because I want to really live. And cigarettes make things better. And that's the thing, guys. It's about really living. That's what life's about. Not putting your life on hold. Not putting your success on hold because you're looking forward at this made up future that will never exist, waiting to get to that point until your life can start. We set these unrealistic goals or destinations in the future. I think it's good to have a plan, but and to constantly be working for something, but plans change. Life changes. Things get in the way. You run into obstacles. You get curveballs thrown at you all the time. It's part of the reason why it's so important to enjoy the moment that you're in, because you don't know what the future will bring. Why are you being gay and bearish? Bitcoin's hitting all-time highs. It's changing the world, and you get to be a part of it. You get to be an active participant in this. You get to stamp your name in the history books. You could tell your kids, so like, you know, a lot of people tell their kids like, oh, I was here when 9/11 happened, or I was here when the Berlin Wall fell. They look at these monumental points in history. I was here when Barack Obama got elected. I was here when Trump got shot in his campaign. You know, they'll look at these moments, you know, and tell their kids. But realistically, you'll be able to tell your kids stories that are much more consequential. I was here when the Sailor series got dropped. I listened to it here. I was here when American HODL debated Dieter Bob. I was here when Teddy Bitcoins won Maxi Madness or Yellow. The world is changing and you're a part of it. You've played a role in it. If you boosted us on Fountain, you're truly a pioneer. I think a lot of people are really missing out on the novelty of a lot of this stuff. There's a lot of first going on. You know, I remember reading about the cypherpunk movement and really wishing that I could go back in time and, you know, be on the cypherpunk mailing list and, you know, be talking about these email forwarders or remail or whatever you called it. I was just thinking that was so cool to hear about, hearing about the crypto wars, you know, when people wearing encryption on their t-shirts and sticking up their middle finger to the federal government with their stupidity, trying to regulate encryption. This is a way bigger deal than that. That was just setting the foundation for what we're dealing with today. And folks, it is an exciting time. It is an exciting time to be alive. I get you're tired. A lot of people are tired right now. And what's funny about this, I was just thinking today, why are people tired? Well, it's because you're really not sovereign. That's why you're tired. Everybody's being influenced by interest rates right now. That's my theory on it. Claim to be sovereign because they have Bitcoin, but we're still influenced by interest rates. You're seeing it left to right. People are asking or begging the Fed to cut rates. Part of believing about this free market future, a lot of people like to read Rothbard, but when it comes time to actually implement any of the ideas that he presents, they freak out. Part of the thing about free markets is actually allowing and dealing with the consequences of free markets. Free markets are chaos. Prices rise and fall. There's a lot of volatility. You have to think critically about things because in a free market, there aren't bailouts. The rich isn't socialized in a free market. Neither are you. It's a, you know, having the sovereign mindset of, it just means you have to have a higher pay tolerance. You have to be willing to deal with difficult things and not just expect the state to take care of you. And I think this is something a lot of people are missing, is the real desire to work hard, work their asses off. There's a lot of people that I know that are really working their asses off. I don't hear from them a lot because they're so busy. They got their heads down. They're doing shit. And so for a lot of people that are looking at Twitter and then they're trying to use Elon's app as a way to determine the consensus of what reality is amongst a lot of Bitcoin people, they're dealing with largely a lot of the people that aren't working hard. Because you have to think about last cycle. What was going on last cycle? Everybody was like sitting in their apartments or houses or whatever with a mask on. Everybody was bored. And all they did was meme all day. And the price of Bitcoin was going up. Remember last cycle when all the TikTokers thought that they could quit all their jobs and just day trade? For the first time in their lives, they were experiencing massive inflation. They didn't know what to make of it. They all thought they were getting rich. Donald Trump was just like, he's got his dick on the money printer. He's poking away at it as fast as he can. It is different this time because the Fed has the rates higher. There isn't as much money flowing around. You're not getting stimulus checks. People are griping about Bitcoin changing. Bitcoin's constantly been changing. There's been so much gay shit that's happened in Bitcoin. Should you have given up when all the exchanges instituted KYC? Oh, it's the end of the world. They're tracking and surveilling us. This takes away from... That'd probably be a better time to quit than now. If you were lost and... If you thought that the whole battle for peer-to-peer cash was over, that probably would have been a better time to quit. When Swan Bitcoin started KYCing your asshole and PodCalf started preaching compliance as defiance, you just think that because the Epstein list is speaking at Bitcoin conferences and having Bitcoin conferences in DC and at the White House and whatever, that's game over. And you didn't realize this whole time that all the people that you were listening to in PodConf prior to that desperately wanted to be on the Epstein list and just weren't cool enough to be on it yet or important enough. And you think things have really changed? I don't know, folks. I don't know why you're not having a good time right now. This is the most exciting time to be alive. There's so many Bitcoin podcasts out there. Price is pumping. I don't think it's going up as high as or fast as any of us know it should. But you have to remember, folks, that the rest of the world doesn't listen to 40HPW. We know that Bitcoin has already won, but the rest of the world is just figuring it out. The future is going to consist of hard work. You're going to have to work your ass off. If you're having a hard time, go read Atlas Shrugged right now. Look at Dagny Taggart. Did she ever bitch or complain? This is the type of attitude that you have to have in a world like this. Is you got to be an individual like Dagny Taggart. Maybe you withdraw from the system a little bit instead of trying to fight it as much and take the Gulch approach. The John Galt approach. You go to the Gulch, hide out in the mountains, smoke a lot of non-KYC cigarettes. It's my favorite part of the book. It's the cigarettes. But either way, you work hard and you try to be the best individual that you can. You try to reach your potential. And every day, just learning something new, working on something new, trying to build something, trying to build a future. Try not to be like the fucking boomers sitting at the slot machines, just wasting their children's future away, gambling at the slot machines with their Social Security checks. There's a potential, folks, to get rid of Social Security, to get rid of all this socialistic bullshit, to really build some distance from yourself and the people trying to control you, to build cool networks and cool communities of people that are doing things. Surround yourself with individuals that are building you up, making you feel better about yourself, making you feel excited about the world and energized and hopeful and optimistic because they're hopeful and optimistic. Who gives a shit about what's happening in the streets of Philadelphia? You got the fentanyl Nazis or zombies. You don't have to deal with that. Hopefully you're not living in the streets of Philadelphia. Holy shit. I'm getting out of New York as a communist. I'm excited about it a lot. We're going to get out of here. One thing I wonder for a lot of people that are having a hard time right now is, are they just like addicted to the fight? They just want to constantly be feeling like they're in that fight. They're fighting against something. There's always something to fight against. The NPCs show this. They're always outraged about something, whatever the current thing is. In many ways, the war has been won. You know, the war for the acceptance of Bitcoin is just a thing. It's been won. Now we're dealing with the terms of surrender right now. That's what the current battle is. It's about the terms of surrender. Bitcoin is won. And we kind of have the decision of how we deal with the terms of surrender. Do we surrender in a way where the people controlling the world before, you know, still retain all their power and they just get to, you know, kind of morph over in the system? Or do we get to actually define future? And they have to live by whatever the rules that we set are. This is a choice that lies ahead of us. And we're not going to have better terms if you just get all depressed and mopey and think it's the end of the world. Like, it's a time to be excited and to be motivated of like, okay, all these things these Bitcoin podcasters have been talking about for years are coming true. And now it's time for me to stop thinking and pontificating about it and start doing it. Start engaging in what's going on right now. Like, the point of playing Bitcoin wasn't to just like get rich to the point where you can retire when you're really young and just watch Netflix all day. Not have to work hard anymore. And the point of it was so you could work on the things that you wanted to. You could have the freedom to, because you have the financial freedom to, and be the person that you want to be. That's real, like, that is freedom. The freedom of choice, the freedom to self-determination, to pursue the things that you want to, that a lot of people haven't figured out that they even have or can't accomplish, because they're like, a lot of people have no idea what that is. I know I didn't for a long time, until I was sitting in a hotel room reading Atlas Shrugged for the first time, or a hospital room. Price is ripping. It's a lot of work that's necessary. There's a tough battle ahead. But folks, you've got it in you. I want you to think about somebody great right now. Think of one of the greatest individuals you've ever met or ever thought of. Maybe you watch them on TV. Somebody that's inspired you. I went on Daniel Prince's podcast pretty recently. It was a fun show. I don't know when it's going to come out. I'm excited about it. And he asked me if I could orange pill one person, who would it be? I said, Lindsey Stirling. Well, let me tell you about Lindsey Stirling. She's hot, for one, but she's a violinist. I love the violin. Violin's a great interest. It's like the electric guitar of classical music. And she is the rock star. She's like the Alice Cooper or Jimmy Page of classical music, of the violin. I guess she plays a lot of like poppy stuff, but absolutely incredible if you ever get a chance to watch her. She created a YouTube channel in 2007 and started playing violin on it. And she mixes her ability to dance with her ability to play violin. I mean, it's really incredible what she does from a performance standpoint. She's been working at this shit for a very long time to get to the point where she's at. I think a lot of people want to give up before they make it. I feel like right when you're about to make it, you're on this precipice of, I think subconsciously, you know. And I think one of the things that's stressful about it is, you know that you're going to have to work harder. You're working your ass off to get to this point, and when you really get that recognition that you want, you're really going to have to take it to the next level. You're going to have to just continuously be better. Lindsey Stirling is like that. She's like one of the best in the world at what she does. She's truly exceptional. I don't know how she does what she does. Well, I do know how she does it. She practices a lot. Her violin, her dancing, she practices a lot. She's like 80 hours per week. I don't know how she does it. You can tell these people that are truly exceptional, they put the work in. I think there's very rarely will you ever hear about a person that's such a freak of nature. They can just be like the best at something without any effort. You hear about this with athletes sometimes, but you generally it doesn't work out that well. And you think of the greatest of all time at something, I worked harder than everybody else. Like that's how Jordan was. It was like a mental illness. His drive. He practiced so hard it wasn't healthy, but it paid off in a lot of ways. I know he's got issues in his personal life, but he's going to be considered the greatest of all time for forever. I don't think there will ever be a time in history that will even come close to rivaling what it was like for him. And part of it, at least not for a long time, because part of it is we're just watching this fiat decline. It's just, it is different. It's very different today. You got to work hard, folks. I think it's one of the big lessons to take away from what's going on. You know, when you see people that are discouraged on Twitter, they're like, Bitcoin isn't cool anymore. Well, neither is being an emo. It's just part of growing up, folks. At a certain point, you just don't become cool. You're not cool anymore. It's not the end of the world. You got to grow up at some point and be an adult. When you become an adult, emo music just isn't cool anymore. You're not a part of a subculture. You're part of the mainstream now. And you have the choice to, you know, fork off into another subculture of some sorts. But I think, you know, it's dangerous to make your identity around anything other than yourself. You know, say like, I'm a Bitcoiner. I'm a Bitcoin podcast listener. I'm a, you know, Bitcoin podcaster. I'm Richard Greaser. I'm the John Galt of journalism. You know, you got to derive your identity from something like that. You know, a journalist is more of a description of who I am than a description of what I'm trying to be and fit into. It's just who I am. I was born this way or developed this way, or, you know, I don't know if it was like the brain damage when I was a kid or what, but this is the way I am, folks. Smoke a lot of cigarettes, read Atlas Shrugged a lot, but you got to really like dig deep into who you are. Feel confidence in yourself because you have a mind. You need to use it. You need to feel good about it, regardless of what the circumstances are around you, whether people are grumpy or happy or not. You gotta surround yourself with individuals that are like-minded, that are going to support you. Hang out with other people that listen to Bitcoin podcasts. It's time to have fun. I think that's the message. I know a lot of people are feeling this way. They're feeling bummed out right now. It's the summer. It's nice outside. The price of Bitcoin's up. It's time to have a good time. Time to listen to some fun Bitcoin podcasts. I'm looking forward to Rod getting back. Hopefully we all get him back next week. We'll have to see what's going on. Wrapping up the show, we're going to Lake Satoshi. That's going to be a good time. Hope to see you there. We'll have a good time. Be playing some guitar and doing some singing, some folks with fundamentals. I'm excited about that. I was listening to PlebChain. They're talking how people are falling off Noster. I thought that was kind of interesting. That's part of what influenced me talking about this tonight. They had a similar attitude. Their last show was, you know, the sermon at the beginning of it was, I appreciated it a lot. Avi and QW. They're talking with Kieran from Zapstream. They're having fun playing on their Noster app. I'm playing on the Noster app too. I've been having fun on the Noster app. Matt Odell taught me how to zap on the Noster app. So I'm zapping on the Noster app, finally. They used to let me do it, and then they made it harder for you. All right, let's get into the Fountain Boost. Avi Burra says, 12 for 12,000 sats, says, excellent show as always, gents. Here's to an eternal paper Bitcoin summer. You can keep the summer vibes going by checking out my new Bourdain-inspired travel show with Bitcoiners, Finding Home. The pilot episode is now out on Indie Hub, and then he's got the link posted. Well, Avi, I will check that out. That sounds pretty interesting. On his show, I think he's trying to put together episode 3 right now. I think he might be having like a geyser fund. I need to listen to it and see what exactly he's talking about, because I think there's some expenses involved. Avi, definitely one of my favorite people. We were messaging back and forth. We were watching Hellscore. So Noah Gruman has a choir called Hellscore. And so what she did is she watched Pitch Perfect 3 and decided to make a metal a cappella choir. And they were doing a live stream on Zapstream. So that was a good time. Watching some metal a cappella. Tuned in and out, but it was really funny. Optimus Fields would have lost his mind. They covered a Linkin Park song in the end. I was cracking up. Optimus Fields is wrong. Linkin Park's a great band. Yeah, Avi's a great guy. Appreciate they're good Bitcoin podcasters. The Plebchain Radio guys, those are good Bitcoin podcasters. I enjoy their show. Thank you for the boost, Avi. Man of Bitcoin, 10,000 sats, Adam Semeca. I got to be honest, I haven't seen much about Adam Semeca recently. He's been out of the controversy, I guess. Right around the conference, he was really going after it. I'm scrolling through Adam's Twitter right now to see if he's doing anything interesting. I guess he's got a bunch of boring tweets. I guess I've been doing a bunch of boring tweets recently, so that's why I haven't seen him. Adam, you've been doing boring tweets. Thank you for the boost, Adam. Adam, let's get together. Let's talk about how to make our tweets more interesting. Fundamentals for 10,000 sats says, it's my calling to boost Pioneers podcast right now. So I went this morning. I went to a coffee shop. I was reading Fundamentals book. I got in a good amount. He's spitting some fire. I'm excited to read the rest of the book. It's very rarely I pick up a Bitcoin book these days, and I feel good about reading it. And I was excited. I'm excited about it for a few reasons. I'm excited. So far, I found the book to be interesting, first and foremost. Second of all, it was written by a buddy, and so I'm excited about that. And third, it's coming from a different perspective than I've ever really read. Like, I've heard Fundamentals, on podcasts and stuff, but the thing about a book is you have a little bit more time. You're less off the cuff. You're a little bit more organized, a little less frazzled, a little bit clearer messaging, hopefully. And that's what I'm getting from this book so far. So I'm excited to get into it a little bit more, and I will give you you guys a full review of it. But yeah, Fundamentals, great guy, one of my favorite people. Going to be hanging out with him, like Satoshi, and I'm excited about that. Shadrach, 4,093 sats says, when $ Bugle leverage podcast backed by paper Bitcoin? Hashtag 40HPW. That's way above my head, Shadrach. I don't know if we're going to ever have leverage on podcasts. The only thing I can really think about is if you're betting or gambling on Polymarket about podcasts. I bet there's a bunch of prompt bets that you could do on podcasts. Like, how many times has Richard Griesser mentioned cigarettes in an episode? Over under on that. What's the over under on that? Shadrach, great guy. Thank you for the boost. Bitcoin account, 2,112 sats says, is Peter McCormick the John Holmes of orange pilling? How many girlfriends were breached by Peter? The man sitting in the cuck chair. I had to look up who John Holmes was. It sounds like, he was a porn star, was in 573 porn films, at least. You know, if I don't know who a porn star is, I never feel like I'm missing out or feel like awkward or bad about that. I'm glad, proud to say I didn't get that reference. So is Peter McCormack the John Holmes of orange pilling? How many girlfriends were breached by Peter with their men sitting in the cuck chair? I think you're thinking of Dennis Porter. I would say Dennis Porter is the John Holmes of Bitcoin orange pilling. But yeah, Peter McCormick, he taught a lot about people about Bitcoin. And I think it's a good lesson for people. You know, like, if your life has been that dramatically influenced by a guy like Peter McCormick, and what does that mean about you? How many girlfriends were breached by Peter with their men sitting in the cuck chair? Probably quite a few. I think Peter also orange-pilled some ladies. Well, thank you for the boost, Bitcoin accountant. OD40HPW says, for 2,100 sats, says, sorry for not boosting consistently enough. Well, you're here now. That's what matters, Odie. Thank you for the boost. Again, for 2,100 sats, says, if Peter McCormack moves to New York, will then be considered a legal alien? You know, Peter McCormack is like the Piers Morgan of Bitcoin podcast, and the guy that pretends to be super based, pretends to ask, like, Piers Morgan, like, thinks he's like the Tucker Carlson of the world in his own head. And like, Tucker Carlson thinks he's pretty hot shit too. Tucker Carlson doesn't smoke cigarettes. He's like, he thinks he's based because he like tells people to do Zins or chew nicotine gum. Dude isn't based. He's a poser. And, you know, when the bar is so low, and the rest of the people are just like very uncompelling and uninteresting. The ones that are like the tallest midgets essentially think that they're the shit. So like Piers Morgan thinks he's the shit. So does Tucker Carlson. And like the equivalent in the Bitcoin podcasting world to those two LARPs is Peter McCormack. You know, we're entering the golden age of Bitcoin podcasting, and this dude quit. And the reason why this dude quit is he knew he couldn't compete. He had to pivot to something else. He's like, oh shit. Here comes the real podcasters. I need to go pivot and pretend to be a politician or whatever. Peter, you're not Dennis Porter. But if he moves to New York, will he be considered a legal alien? I don't know. The terms of him being interested in moving to New York, they're getting so cocked. New York's going to be like the UK here pretty soon. It's going to be illegal to post memes. They're going to have a bunch of nonsense. He might want to move there. I don't know what his status would be. He could probably pull some strings to being, you know, previously the world's premier Bitcoin podcaster. He'd probably pull some strings going into the future. I'm sure there's a lot of paper Bitcoin companies that would want to hire him. Thank you for the boost, Odie. Blizza 1010 sat says hi. Well, hello to you, Blizza. D-H-I-K-R. Is this Dick Rulla? D-H-I-K Rulla. 1002 sat says boost. Thank you. Mr. Rabbit says, brilliant episode, sirs. You really made no bones about it. Thank you. I wonder if Mr. Rabbit is in reference to the TV show Utopia. There's a character in it named Mr. Rabbit. Anthony, 100 sats. Turkey, 500 sats. Ludi says, chill now. Post some compelling things on Noster that always catch my eye. He boosts you guys quite a bit on Fountain. In order to get my 40 hours Bitcoin podcast, I need more Bitcoin podcasts. Well, Ludi, if DM me on Noster, I'll give you some suggestions. Good podcast. Go listen to Ungovernable Misfits and Plebchain Radio and Rock Paper Bitcoin. I'll get you a good start. I also been listening to RHR again. I just started listening to RHR. Chill now, 420 sats says initializing thought protocol. The orange pill is compelling discipline. Ozempic is perpetual enslavement. Both slimming. Choose your side effects. Core.transformation.initiate. The Karens look to influencers. The game whispers back, Carolyn Levitt. Her form is flawless, yet her essence is unknown. And a world ruled by algorithms, one question remains. What does it mean to be human when we no longer think for ourselves? Execute self-reclamation. Free your mind. And sends a link to a JPEG. Be cool if Fountain would actually embed these photos that people are linking. And the page says, it's like a blue error screen, like OG Windows says, stablecoin at the top. An error has occurred. System overheating. The Cardano floppy disk is not used to this pace of development. Please slow down your pace to save the chain. Error 1S and some other numbers and stuff. It says stable 206. Press any key to continue. I start following Chill Now on Noster. It was a good decision. Definitely check it out. BTC on board, 300 sats. Says thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. Thank you, BTC on board. Poopsicle, 300 sats says Ozempic is it a pill? It's a weekly shot. Well, either way, it's gay. Noster Gang 101 Sat says hashtag PBS. And then Pi is coming in with the final boost. 100 sats, LFG, strong arm, strong arm, strong arm, mushroom, 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 salute, salute, salute. Well, folks, it's getting late in the evening. Thank you for tuning into this edition and hearing me ramble solo. That's kind of what the music show's like that I do on Monday nights, except less music than when I'm playing in, or more music than when I'm playing in this episode. But, guys, have a good week. Be diligent listening to Bitcoin podcasts and have fun. It's, I think what a lot of people are missing is they haven't remembered to just stick up their middle fingers, to be cocky, to be self-assured. You've done the work. You've studied these things from first principles. It's time to have a good time, folks. Bitcoin is ripping. It's the bull market. Run with the wind.
Here's where your story begins. The journey will be long. There'll be dark days, but you'll choose to be strong. Time is running away like a bullet from a gun. Enjoy it while you can. The past can't be undone. A crossroads, choices to be made. It's your story to write. Embrace fate. This is not how the journey ends. No need to wait. Run with the wind. Explosions all across the sky.
The wind.